today on Jeff's Podcast.
Hey, everybody. Hope you're having a great day today. I want to share something with you. You know, I love the moments when I open up God's Word and He teaches me out of His Word. And I'm not getting it from someone else teaching or from a preacher or a sermon, but I'm getting it straight from the mind of God to my heart. You know, the Word says that His anointing will teach me things that I've never heard. And I love those moments when that happens to me in Scripture. So today, I want to drop on you a revelation bomb. Is that all right? So I want to share with you out of Matthew 21, verses 18 through 21. Familiar passage. You know this passage if you've ever been a student of Scripture. If you don't know this passage and you've never heard this, I believe it'll encourage you. Matthew 21, verses 18 through 21. In the morning, as Jesus was returning to Jerusalem, He was hungry, and He noticed a fig tree beside the road. He went over to see if there were any figs, but there were only leaves. Then He said to it, "May you never bear fruit again." And immediately the fig tree withered up. His disciples were amazed when they saw this, and they asked, "How did the fig tree wither so quickly?" Jesus told them, "I tell you the truth. If you have faith and you do not doubt, you can do things like this and much more. You can even say to this mountain, 'May you be lifted up and thrown into the sea,' and it will happen." This thought came to me the other day, and I want to share it with you, that we need a Matthew 21:21 moment in 21. Now, I know it sounds kind of corny, the title, but that's what I heard in my spirit the other day as I was meditating on Matthew 21. And I believe that we in this time, in this day, we need a mountain moving moment because we are faced with mountain-sized obstacles. Do you believe that? I do. I don't know what you've been through. I don't know what obstacles you've faced or what problems that you've gone through, but I believe that just like me and many others, you, while you listen to this today or while you're watching this video today, there is a mountain in your way, a need, a dilemma, a problem, an obstacle, a crisis that is mountain-sized. You don't know how you're going to get around it. You don't know how you're going to get through it. You don't know how you're going to get beyond it. It is the size of a mountain, and you just don't know what to do. And I want to share with you today that God can give you a Matthew 21:21 moment in this year of 2021. He can give you a mountain moving moment. And I want to share out of this scripture with you. There's something that you have to back up and just spend a moment thinking about when you read this passage. Jesus has been taking a journey as he's coming back to Jerusalem. And as he's on the road, as the scripture says, beginning verse 18, he got hungry and he was drawn to this fig tree. He sees this fig tree that was full of leaves, but it had no fruit. Now, that alone is curious, and I want to share with you why. Of course, the fig tree and the fruit fig is very prominent in Scripture. You can go from Genesis all the way through the New Testament, and you can find this fig tree being used as a symbol, as a type and shadow, and used for various lessons, and even in the parables of Jesus throughout Scripture. In Luke, Jesus tells the parable of the fig tree. So the fig tree is prominent in the scripture. What's interesting about the fig tree is that it tends to do things backwards from other trees, right? So usually when you look at a tree that's bearing fruit, like an apple tree, it's going to have leaves on it first. And then after the leaf comes, then the fruit, the apple, begins to grow on the tree limb. And any tree that bears fruit that has some sort of blossom, usually the blossom comes on the outside of the fruit. But the fig tree is exactly opposite. The fig tree bears the fruit first, before the leaves. And after the fruit comes, then the leaf comes. So the fact that Jesus is drawn to this particular fig tree because of the leaves on it, it is indicative that if it has leaves on it, it should have already borne fruit. And I'll get back to that in a moment. Another thing that's interesting about the fig tree is that the blossom does not grow outside the fruit. The blossom grows inside the fruit. Now, I like figs. Have you ever noticed when you break open a fig, those tiny little seeds in there, those are created by the blossom inside the fruit. So this fig tree does things differently than most trees. And if you look at this and study other interesting factors about the fig tree, it is much a lesson about the kingdom of God. In the kingdom of God, things are opposite of what they are in the kingdom of this world. The first shall be last, and the last shall be first. That's a kingdom principle. That's not the way it works in the kingdom of this world, but it's a kingdom principle. Another kingdom principle is give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. These are kingdom principles. Another kingdom principle is if you want to be the greatest, then you have to be the servant of all. These are kingdom principles. These are backward. They're upside down when you look at it from the kingdom of man. Or perhaps rather, when you live in kingdom principles, you look at the kingdom of this world as upside down. And so the fig tree is like that. The fig tree does things in the opposite manner of most fruit-bearing trees. The fruit comes first, and then the leaves, and the blossom is on the inside of the fruit. So when I begin to read this in light of this information that I studied this week, I begin to realize why Jesus was drawn to the fig tree. I never understood before. I've preached this passage, and we always focus on verse 21. You can say to the mountain, be moved and be cast in the midst of the sea, and it shall be done. We focus on the faith part of this particular passage. But when you focus on why Jesus stopped at this tree, Mark's gospel account of this particular story says that it was not the season for figs. So when you put this together, it makes sense why Jesus stopped at this fig tree, because he knew the season. He's the creator of heaven and earth. And even though he was man on foot in the flesh, he was God. And so the creator of heaven and earth and the seasons knew the season, that it was not the season for figs. No wonder it drew his attention that this fig tree out of season was bearing leaves. And the leaves meaning that the fruit had already come. And so Jesus was hungry. He looks over. He's drawn to this tree, this fig tree, that is bearing fruit, or that is bearing leaves rather. And if there are leaves, it is expected that this tree will be bearing figs. And Jesus walks over and notices that even though the leaves are there, the figs are not there. It is not born any fruit. And perhaps this is why Jesus cursed the fig tree. Perhaps this is why he says to the tree, may you never bear fruit again. Do you know that God cannot bless, will not bless something out of its season? If you will go to the scripture and search from one cover to the other, just go to Google and search the phrase, or in your concordance. In the old days, I used to use the concordance to look and do word studies. These days, it's easier just to Google it, right? So go to your Google browser or your concordance and just search for the phrase "in its season" or "at the appointed time" in Scripture, specifically in the King James Version. Most concordances operate off the King James Version. You will find that those two phrases, "appointed time" and "in its season," are used dozens and dozens of times in the Word of God, because God is a God of order. He's a God of seasons. He's a God of timing. Some of you are wondering, why isn't my prayer being answered? Why aren't things moving forward? How come I haven't made any progress? Where is my blessing? I just want to remind you that God has not forgotten about you, but you are just in a waiting pattern, a holding pattern. You are in a planting pattern, because the season is coming. And in God's perfect timing, God's perfect will, and at the appointed time, your answer will come. I believe that. But I also believe that God won't bless what is out of season. I believe there are times when we try to make things happen, when we try to force things, when we try to encourage to the point of forcing something to fit where it's not supposed to fit, or trying to get ahead of God. Perhaps like Abraham did when God promised him that he was going to have a son. And so instead of waiting on Sarah to bear a child, he goes into Hagar, one of her handmaidens, and has Ishmael. Abraham got ahead of God. Ishmael was born out of season. Are you listening to what I'm saying? I don't know about you, but there have been times I've gotten ahead of God and I've had to back up. And here's another, let me just stop right here, right in the midst of what I'm saying to you, and drop another revelation bomb. Isaiah 54:17. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall walk and not be weary. They shall run and not faint. Take that first phrase. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. I used to think that I was renewing my strength to wait upon the Lord, but I've come to find out in the last year or so of my life, as perhaps may have you, that I am not renewing my strength to wait upon the Lord. I am waiting upon the Lord, because in that period of waiting, He's renewing my strength. Because while I'm waiting, I'm not getting ahead of God. While I'm waiting, I'm not forcing things. While I'm waiting, I'm not trying to make something happen. While I'm waiting, I may not feel and sense that there is progress going on, but when I'm waiting, He's renewing my strength and getting me ready for the season that is coming. Hallelujah. I believe that you need to receive that into your spirit right now. Perhaps you felt like you were in a waiting pattern. Perhaps you have felt like you don't see any progress, and you don't see any forward momentum in your life, and you have ambition, and you have strength, and you have energy and resolve, and you almost feel guilty. Have you ever had this feeling? You almost feel guilty that nothing's happening in your life, because you feel like you must not be doing something right if there's not progress. I want to remind you that you are waiting on the Lord in His appointed time, in His season, to renew your strength in the waiting. Because when the season is ripe, when the appointed time comes, when the season of harvest comes to your door, when the appointed time of your vision comes to your house, you're going to have needed the strength and the rest that He gave you. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. What a revelation. And so back to the fig tree. Jesus looks at this tree. The tree is out of season. It is bearing leaves that shouldn't be there. But if there are leaves there, there should be fruit there as well, and there's not. And I believe it's for that reason. I've always wondered, Why did Jesus curse the fig tree just because it didn't have any figs? Why did he do this? What is the theological or the prophetic significance of this? And I believe the anointing taught me something as I studied this passage just the other day, that he cursed it because it was out of season, and even though it was bearing the leaf, it was not bearing the fruit that comes before the leaf. And I tell you, God, I'm going to say it again, God will not bless something out of season. And just like that fig tree, sometimes we get things backward. We want the leaf first, and then the fruit will come. Let me tell you something. There's something about order and seasons and appointed time that God operates by that we don't seem to get sometimes. Because when we force things, things come out of order. When we try to encourage it to happen when it's not time, things get mixed up, things are not in order, things are not in the correct chronological order, just like the tree that bore the leaves but had no fruit. There are a lot of people out there. Listen to me now. I'm dropping a revelation bomb on you. There are a lot of people in the church. Can I talk to the church for just a moment? Now, this podcast, I've looked at my analytics recently, and there are people watching this in Africa and in Europe and in other places, but let me just talk to the church in America right now. The church in America has people in it that are like the fig tree that Jesus cursed. They have the leaves, but they don't have the fruit. They've gotten the cart before the horse, if you will. They're doing things out of order, and they think because they have the leaves, they look good, but there's no fruit. They can provide a little shade, a little temporary comfort, but there is no fruit. They're out of season. They're out of place. They're trying to force what only God can give. They're trying to encourage or push what only God can make happen. And because of that, there's no fruit being born. Let me just stop here and switch gears for a moment and ask you something. Why did Jesus curse this fig tree? It was out of season. It had leaves, but it had no fruit. It didn't have any evidence that it was fruitful, only the leaves. Because remember, the leaves came after the fruit. So why? Why is it that we keep on waiting for things that have never borne any fruit? Why is it that we keep trying to resurrect things that God has cursed? Why is it that we keep waiting on things that are never going to be blessed? They're never going to bear fruit, but we keep going back to them. It's like our safe places, our old faithful moments, those things and perhaps people in our lives that have already always provided comfort and safety, but have never profited us anything. They've never done us any good but to give us a feeling. There are a lot of people chasing feelings, but feelings are empty if there's no fruit in their life. We keep going back to things. Listen, there are some of us that are waiting on things that are never going to happen. You keep staring at the fig tree, waiting on it to bear fruit. It's never going to bear fruit because it's not season. It's been cursed. Jesus cursed the fig tree because it was never going to bear any fruit. It showed no evidence of fruit. It was out of line. It was out of order. The leaf came before there was any fruit to be born. There was no blossom there. It was pretty to look at and provided shade, but there was nothing that was lasting about that tree, and Jesus cursed it. And I believe that God has called us to curse things in our lives and walk away from things in our lives that we keep going back to that never provide us any nourishment, that never provide us any spiritual maturity. We can't keep going back to the same ways and the same words and the same people and the same methods and all of those things trying to get a different result. That's the definition of insanity, right? Doing the same thing over and over, expecting a different result. That's the lesson of the fig tree in this passage in Matthew 21. This is why Jesus cursed the fig tree. Let me stop this right here and say this to you also. There are some people that you've been waiting for that are never going to be there for you. It's okay. It's all right, because perhaps they weren't meant to be there for you. Perhaps they were there for just a season, and the season is past. Stop going back to the fig tree that Jesus cursed. After Jesus cursed the fig tree, the Bible said it dried up, and the disciples saw it, and they said, how did this happen? Why did this fig tree so quickly wither? And Jesus said, if you have faith, I tell you the truth. If you have faith and do not doubt, you can do things like this and much more. You can say to this mountain, may you be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen. I believe Jesus was trying to teach the disciples an object lesson, that you don't have to wait on the Lord to curse something that's not bearing any fruit in your life. That you, He's given you the authority and the power to walk away from failures, to walk away from mistakes, to walk away from dried up fig trees, to walk away from brooks that don't run with water anymore, and to move into a new season. Jesus likened this miracle of cursing the fig tree to something that seems much more monumental, that you can even say to a mountain that is in your way, be cast into the sea, and it will happen. A mountain that stands between you and your promise, a mountain that stands between you and your miracle, a mountain that stands between you and your answer, you and your destiny. How do you get around it? You need a Matthew 21:21 moment. You need a mountain-moving moment. He said, if you will believe and do not doubt. If you believe and do not doubt, not only can you curse a fig tree, but you can go over there to that mountain and say, be carried away and cast in the midst of the sea, and it shall be done. You might need a mountain-moving moment today. And if that's you, I came to encourage you that He is a mountain-moving God. And it doesn't take mountain faith to move a mountain. It only takes faith the size of a grain of a mustard seed. Just a little faith, if you will believe and do not doubt. See, that's the problem. That's the problem. That obstacle of doubt. Sometimes that doubt comes because of past experience. That doubt comes because of past disappointments and cynicism and discouragement. But in order to get your miracle, you're going to have to stop worrying about how things didn't work your way, how things didn't come about the way you thought they should and didn't work out the way you planned, and believe for your tomorrow. Stop fretting over yesterday and believe for today as you move forward. I'm believing God with you that God will give you a mountain-moving moment, that the mountain that is in your way, He'll move out of your way as you pray and seek the face of God. Sometimes people make faith to be something very complicated. Faith is not complicated at all. Faith is very simple. Hebrews 11:1, I keep going back to this in my own heart because there's something here that I have to reconcile in my mind. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Evidence. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So Jesus is saying to them, if you will have faith, it is the evidence, your faith alone, your belief in God, your, your absence of doubt, your belief in God, your faith is the very evidence that this mountain is going to move. Faith is the evidence of the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I spent about 15 years in law enforcement. When I went into court to prosecute a case, I had to present to the prosecutor and the court the evidence that an offense had been committed. Evidence. The evidence, whether it was an eyewitness testimony, whether it was a piece of physical evidence, there had to be evidence. Without evidence, there is no successful prosecution. And so when I hear words like evidence, they trigger that method of thinking in my mind. They trigger me back to preparing a case for trial and preparing a prosecution, if you will, to assist the county prosecutor in winning this case as a law enforcement officer. And so if the scripture says in Hebrews 11 and 1 that faith is the evidence of things not seen, then my faith becomes the prosecution of the downfall of the enemy. My faith prosecutes the schemes of the enemy. My faith prosecutes the methods and the weapons of the enemy. Mountain-moving moments don't require mountain faith. They just require mustard seed faith. That is the evidence that prosecutes the mountain that is in your way. Sometimes the biggest cases are broken by the smallest pieces of evidence. And I want you to know that whatever is coming against you is going to be brought down by the smallest amount of evidence in your heart. Lord, I trust you that you're going to do it. Al Capone. You ever watch The Untouchables, one of my favorite movies, you'll know that Al Capone was a terrible gangster, a murderer, a criminal in the Prohibition era, but he was brought down because of pen on paper, because of his books, because of accounting and his tax evasion. Just a small thing in relation to what he was guilty of, but the smallest amount of evidence brought him down. I'm telling you, the smallest amount of evidence in your heart, the faith in your heart that says, Lord, I believe. I don't know how, but I believe. I don't know when, but I believe. I know it doesn't look like it, but I believe. I don't see in my eyes what I see in my heart, but I believe. That evidence in you, that faith, which is the evidence of what you don't see, that evidence in you is enough to break the case, to bring down the mountain. I'm praying God gives you a mountain moving moment in 21. A Matthew 21:21 moment in 21. I took a post-it note. I wrote Matthew 21:21 on it, the scripture. I posted it on the mirror in my bathroom so that every morning when I walk into that bathroom, I see that, because I'm believing God for a Matthew 21:21 moment, a mountain moving moment in 21, and I'm believing it for you too. I pray that you meditate on this and it will help you and encourage you, and I'll see you next time.
Thanks for tuning in today. Remember to subscribe to the podcast on any major podcast platform or Jeff's YouTube channel. For more information about this ministry, visit us at jeffwolf.org. Just released is Jeff's newest book, 10 Reasons Why. You can get it free by texting the keyword RESTORED to 833-649-1545. Message and data rates may apply. We'll see you next week. Be blessed.